Completely Conspicuous, episode 457, February 21st, 2017. Welcome back to Completely Conspicuous. I'm your host, Jay Kumar. This week I've got part three of my conversation with guest Matt Fillion as we discuss Hollywood's love of reboots. As always, please send any comments, questions, or innovative mac and cheese recipes to j.kumar@gmail.com. Also, please check out Completely Conspicuous at comconcast.blogspot.com and on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at coomdog. You can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. And now back to my conversation with Matt Fillion.
And then, like, you know, there are things like there's a new miniseries coming out about Joan Crawford and Betty Davis with Jessica Lange and I think Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, because it's got two heavyweights playing opposite each other.
I think it's those two. Like, I mean, it sounds kind of nuts. I mean, I think real life docudrama things have been doing well, like the O.J. Simpson. Yep. Did you ever see that?
I didn't see that because
People vs. O.J. Simpson.
Well, that just came on Netflix. I just got that notification.
Awesome. Like it, I was like, oh man, this could be really bad. Like, you know, David Schwimmer's playing, you know, Robert Kardashian. It's fucking awesome.
Now, Cuba Gooding
Jr. as O.J.
Where does that fall into the? Because I mean, is real life essentially a remake of real life, like a docudrama?
Right. I mean, it's not a parody.
Yeah.
Although, like, there are parts of it that will make you laugh, but it's really well done.
But is that...
It's fascinating.
Is that because we want to hear the same stories over and over again?
They did a good job of... I think probably the part that's funny is Travolta playing who did he play? Oh, Robert Shapiro. Because I remember like seeing a review and like, I'm not sure what John Travolta is doing here, but he's acting in a different show altogether. Like, he's just like, the shit he was doing was bizarre, but like it's really good.
Well, the,
and I, it kind of takes you back to that time. Like, I mean,
that was a very different time in history too. That
I was
in college when that happened.
I was, you know, working at a newspaper, and just, you know, I remember that thing super well, but like it was a fascinating show.
So this popped into my head because of you say John Travolta, so I of course went with a Scientology thing with the new Mummy movies coming out.
Oh, is he in it?
No, it's Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
But it totally changes up the concept. But
I didn't see any of those movies. I remember with Brendan Fraser. Yeah. Right? Those were actually like big hits, right?
They must have made money.
The first one was huge.
If they make three of them, they made somebody got rich off of it. So, you know.
Well, speaking of reboots, the 24 reboot just premiered last night.
Yeah.
Although nobody saw it around here because the Patriots won. So,
well, I heard it's the wrong time for it, I guess. But
I mean, yeah, it depends on who you are, I guess, right?
Yeah.
If you're a Trump fan, you're probably loving it. But I mean, if it's the same mindset, like, because the dude who created the show is like big time Republican.
Yeah,
you know,
essentially like jingoistic. But
I mean, I watched. I think I pretty much watched the entire series.
I
like Kiefer Sutherland, and the show was hard to watch. I kind of just, you know, it's gripping though. Like the whole like time element thing, real time thing was kind of the grabber. I mean, that was a gimmick, I guess.
Yeah.
But
well, I mean, that's the other
thing. I mean, it got stupid at times because, like, you know, there was like, I think it was the first season where, like, Elijah Cuthbert played his daughter, and she was like, she was being held hostage by Kevin Dillon, who had like a fucking jaguar or something. It was like, this is the stupidest fucking thing ever. Like, he had her like chained up and he had like a pet jaguar. I don't know, it was fucking retarded.
I don't know, like that.
But I should stop saying retarded. But that show, yeah, I mean, this has got no Kiefer Sutherland. It's got like
he's got the kid from Walking Dead.
He's in Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Oh, is he like the young guy?
He plays what's his name in The Walking Dead? Is he Keith? It's funny because his Walking Dead character disappeared but didn't get killed. So I think he's like,
was that like when they were, was that like a couple seasons ago?
He was the kid with the dreadlocks. He's one of the new guys. Dreadlocks.
And oh, glasses. You know what?
He's almost unrecognizable.
This season, like I saw the first episode and then like we don't have we cut the cord.
Yeah.
So I don't have I have Sling, so I get just haven't been able to keep up with the episode, so I'm like way behind. So I probably don't haven't seen
him. He showed up towards the tail end of last season. He's one of the Alexandria guys.
Oh, okay, then I know who that is.
Yep.
All right.
The end of last season he headed off into onto like a supply run with Tara.
Yeah.
Lesbian character, the two of them.
Okay, I know who that is.
Yeah, he disappeared for a little while. I don't know what their plans are, if they plan on having him never come back or not, but I think it was one of those ones like, let's see how 24, the sequel, goes.
Meh.
And,
but yeah, I mean, it's just like, every time you turn around, basically, it's just like, I mean, this whole Lethal Weapon thing is
pretty dumb. Oh, Training Day.
Yes, that was the other one.
What I think is interesting
Bill
is
Bill Paxton. Flipped,
yeah, Bill Paxton playing... Bill Paxton
is the dirty
playing
guy.
The
Game Over Denzel Man
character, which I find so twisted in so many ways.
I like Bill Paxton though.
I love Bill Paxton. He was give me more, the world does not have enough Bill Paxton.
I'd like to see Training Day again, the movie.
I saw that in the theater. Yeah. That's a really good film.
That was intense.
What has he done? What has that director done since then?
Fuqua? He's done a lot of shit.
He's done a lot of like. Yeah.
He did that was it Magnificent Seven remake that just came out?
Oh, did you see that?
No, it didn't. It disappeared, right?
Why would you remake the Magnificent Seven? It was what? Okay, so I understand. I know.
They remake everything.
But I know in my heart of hearts, I know that the Magnificent
Seven. Have they remade the Dirty Dozen? Like, I mean, they must have, right?
They must have. But I mean, like, the Magnificent Seven was a remake of the Seven Samurai.
Right. Which is awesome.
But damn, dude, if you get two perfect movies, you've run out of luck. You're not going to do it well the next time around.
Remember the Longest Yard remake? Sandler? Yeah, Sandler, Chris Rock. And Burt Reynolds was in it.
Why would they? That's right, the prison, the prison movie.
Yeah, the prison football movie. Like, that was a classic when I was a kid. Like, that would show up on ABC every so often.
I mean, I get when people say we're going to... like the way they sold Game of Thrones, they said it was the Lord of the Rings meets the Sopranos.
Right.
Like, that's a marketing scheme and that's cool, but it was still a new story. Everything's a remake. Like,
I mean, now, is that just like, are we just so unoriginal that, you know, we discourage new ideas because we don't think they'll sell?
I remain convinced that a lot of it is what we buy.
Right. It's like comfort food, right?
Yeah,
it's like macaroni and cheese.
We're gonna get what we ask for. We're gonna get what we pay for. Like, that is my. The longer I'm in the storytelling business, the more I think that's what we get. We get what we pay for.
I mean, you're seeing it too, because you know you do the Indestructibles, and it's a series, and you're on your fifth book now. Are you working on spinoffs?
I'm working on a spinoff,
but I'm sure people are like, hey, when are you going to have a new book?
Give me the next one.
Within the same characters doing similar stuff.
The publisher and the readers are asking for the fifth book.
Right.
And cheers.
Cheers.
And what's funny is, it's bad luck if I don't take a sip right after I say cheers.
Oh, yeah.
It's
rude.
It would be so much easier for me to write the fifth book. I could bang out the fifth book in 3 months. I know the characters. I know the plot. And I'm struggling to write the spinoff book, even though it's set in the same universe, because it's something new, and I have to work harder to do it.
Right.
And, like, that's actually, like, first-hand experience. It's actually harder to do something original.
Now, you have other ideas for totally different things that you want to do? Or?
I haven't told you about my rant for my non-superhero
no.
book. So, I was at New York Comic Con, and they had BookCon, a little side thing where you, like, all right, well, I'm an author, I'll go over to BookCon.
King Kong, another remake.
Yep.
For, like, the eighth time.
You know what? That Kong actually Island. Looks good.
That does look kind of good.
That looks better than the... That looks good. Damn it. But it actually does look
looks better than the Peter Jackson one from the like Peter 10 Jackson years ago. Was
terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. I actually... It's funny. I won't go to the movies to go see the new one, but it looks interesting enough that it'll catch me. I want to go back to the book thing in a second. But the...
it's your fault.
The Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Those are excellent movies.
Yes. I saw... I saw the first one.
And the third one's just about to come out.
I don't know if I saw the second one or not.
Caesar the Ape has a better arc than any hero in any trilogy of the
Andy,
past 10
Andy
years.
Andy Serkis is like our greatest yeah. actor right now.
It amazes me. Like, a freaking monkey has a better arc than your average hero. But it also... That flipped the... That's the trick to remaking movies, right? Like, you gotta flip the concept on its head. And instead of it being... The lone human,
Charlton Heston,
you know, in a world full of angry apes.
Right.
It's we made this,
right?
And it's no, you know, it was a good humans twist. Suck.
Yeah,
and this is how we got here. It's funny, although that's what I mean. I caught a review of my series the other day, and it's like, while he tends to have a pessimistic view of humanity, I'm like, thanks a lot, I appreciate that. Oh, so I go to see this.
You complete me.
I go to see this author speak, and it's the guy from A Dog's Purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Now, original concept, manipulative as fuck, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, everybody loves a dog, and the dog's going to die multiple times over the course right. of the story and keep coming back. Because you kill a dog once in a book or a movie, and you're going to make people cry. Yeller, so that dog keeps dying over and over again. And we meet, we hear the author speak, and... This will somehow ruin my career if he, like, his agent hears this or something. But, like, there's nothing genuine about anything the guy is saying except for the fact that I think he truly likes dogs. Like, he and his wife are up there, and I'm like, I think this is the fakest human being I've ever met in my life, but he does like dogs. I'll give him that much. And he's writing this whole series of books, you know, A Dog's Life and A Dog's Purpose and A Dog's Christmas.
Oh, boy.
I'm giving the finger to The Dog's Christmas right now. Yeah. People can't see this at home. So we get home, and I'm fuming about this. I'm like, this son of a bitch is making millions of dollars off of, you know what? I'm going to write A Dog's Purpose mashup with The Walking Dead. And it's going to be from the dog's perspective, going through a zombie wasteland, and his owner's going to die in the first scene. Instead of the dog, you flip that paradigm, so the dog witnesses his owner die and turn into a zombie and has to run away from him. And he's going to meet these kids, and at the end, he's going to... Somebody's going to be ready to shoot him, but it turns out that it's the owner's brother, and I'm getting really, and I'm making this up, and I'm right. just, I'm not even dead serious, and then I'm like, now I got to write this fucking book, because now I have, and I called it Hand of Dog instead of Hand of God.
Wow, I like that.
And I actually, by the end of it, I started off on this, I had no intention of this being a serious idea. I was just like, you know how easy it is to play
like
with people's
emotions?
Like
a writing exercise almost.
Yeah, like it was almost like, you know, this is how easy it is to manipulate people with these tropes that we use right. over and over again. I'm like, you know what? You get the dog trope and the zombie trope. I'm going to steal both of these things that we use too much. And by the end of it, I'm like, now we got to write the stupid fucking book. So that would be I would like to write this. I don't think I'll actually call it Hand of Dog. I think that's a little
too much. Should make boring. It a comic book.
That could be kind of fun. Novel. But I have this whole idea of, like, and, you know, it's not going to be a German Shepherd. It'll probably be, like, the rug rat that's on the floor next to us right now sleeping.
Snoozing away.
But, yeah, you know, my dog is so stoned right now. For the folks at home, I don't actually get my dog stoned on purpose. He had surgery this week, and he is on some happy pain pills.
He is, like, I don't think I can remember a time that I've been here that he hasn't been all over me.
Yeah, he's usually up in your grill while we're talking. I figured it was safe tonight. You're going to get to see him. Passed out, but yeah, like that was my, but like what I was going, that wasn't an original idea. That was me mashing up a couple things that already exist.
Well, I mean, yeah, but that's, you know, that's creative though. I mean, you know, you look at like creative takes on old ideas, like mm-hmm. Shaun of the Dead, you know, zombie movies,
right.
You know, had been done and obviously since then have been done to death, but like, that was 10 years ago, and that was just like a fresh take on it, you know?
Well, and that's the thing that bugs me with the remakes versus taking something, and I subscribe, this is old writer theory that we've only written 7 stories ever, and we just keep retelling them over. One of them is the Bible, and we just keep telling these stories over and over again. And I think it's relatively true. You know, I think every story has genetic material from previous stories. But the straight remakes bug me when you could tell something and turn it on its head. Because even something like, you know, you get The Walking Dead, for example, since we're talking zombies, where it's less about the zombies and more about the people, which people hadn't done before. But usually zombie movies were a bunch of nameless teenagers running from zombies and they all get eaten and that's the end of the movie, right? And The Walking Dead is, it's We Are the Walking Dead, which is about the people instead. It was
you have to be more worried about
the human
survivors than the zombies. Yeah. The zombies are easily killable, but like it's the ones who survivors who are pose a bigger threat.
And it turns the paradigm on its head. I mean, I tried to do that with my own, you know, I'm telling, there's nothing super original in The Indestructibles. It's just a bunch of superheroes that you can find you can trace the line straight back to who inspired most of them. But just try to do something different. Or if you're going to tell a vampire story, if you're going to tell a cop story, or, you know, to do something slightly different from...
Yeah.
I mean, even, like... You know, you get your Bryan Cranston TV show. I blanked on the name of the stupid TV show 3 times tonight, and I keep forgetting.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah. You know, like, okay, so you get the drug dealer who shouldn't be a drug dealer story. I mean, right. Weeds is the same story as Weeds.
Suburban housewife
and drug dealer. Like, those two shows are side by side. I mean, they're very different in style, but they're essentially the same story, right?
Yeah.
You are listening to Completely Conspicuous with Jay Kumar.
And we're back.
I mean, we could ask that. I think if we rewarded those original ideas a little bit more, we'd have less remakes. And I got nothing against, you know, some remakes. Remakes are fun.
Yeah, there's good ones, and there's
and then you get horrendous Transformers.
Ones. Yeah, Jesus, there's another Transformers movie coming out. What's that, the fourth? Fifth? I think shit makes money. They're going to keep making them, right?
The Ninja Turtle remakes.
Yeah, it just came out.
That was... what else is coming?
Will Arnett. Will Arnett does it.
Yeah, he's one of the...
Yeah.
So talking remakes. That if you can do the remake right, like they get the Batman Lego movie, right?
Right.
Which is supposed to be legitimately good.
Did you see the first Lego movie?
Yeah.
That was great. It was great.
Like, it was just a good story. Yeah. Although that was one of those ones where it was kind of a mashup, sort of like weird thing. You know, two grown ups watching Zootopia on a Saturday night, like adults, right? But that was an original story for a film. I mean, I forget. I don't know if it was a book or a comic or a cartoon before, but it was something. But if we reward new original stories, we're going to get more new original stories. But as long as we're only...
Well, you know, and then, you know, you got things like Pixar. Like, some of the shit they come out with.
Pixar's always an original story.
Well, I mean, you know, you're going to have the Toy Story 4 or whatever, but like... But
yeah, they...
Even those are like Toy Story 3 was great.
The first three toys... I never saw the fourth one, but the first three were actually a perfect arc.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what... It's the same thing with, like, Planet of the Apes. It's a perfect arc. You know, you tell a finite story, you have a beginning, middle, and end, and you...
Yeah, I mean, sequels aren't all bad.
No.
If you can do it right, but...
Yeah, if you know where... If you have a plan. I think that's the thing. You gotta have a plan. You gotta have a through... the through line is sacred for me as a storyteller, you know?
Well, you know, you were talking about, you know, often, like, bad movies, whether they're reboots or not, are, you know... Ones that kind of don't have a good script, they're just winging it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading about Iron Man, the first Iron Man movie, because Jeff Bridges was kind of talking about how, you know, they didn't have a formal script on it. They were just like kind of, because Downey was kind of rewriting it as they went along. And, you know, he's like, that's not how I work. He's like, I have a script and I learn it. And, you know, so it was hard for him. He said it was hard for him to do that movie. Like, as much as he enjoyed working with Robert Downey,
what's funny with them, and it's one of the things that a lot of the directors that work with the Marvel Studios now is they have a through line through the entire series.
But that one.
Yeah, that was one of the first movies. They were winging it at first, but they, and people who want, they want to get these big name directors, and they're like, well, I can't be myself because I'm not the auteur. I'm part of a bigger machine.
Mm.
But that's part of the success there, is they have an end goal in mind.
But that's what I love about the Netflix stuff they're doing. Like Luke Cage, I mean, what an original series that was, you know? I mean, Jessica Jones.
Which of the three of them did you like the best so far?
I think I like, you know, I've enjoyed them all. I think I like Luke Cage the best. But I really like Jessica Jones. I think it was a little slow going at first. Yeah. But I kind of enjoyed it because I wasn't familiar with the character, so it kind of got me into it. And I like her.
Yeah, she was really.
And enjoyable. I like Kilgrave. Mm-hmm. I mean, not like what it did.
Well,
like,
I liked the
but the guy is such a great actor.
Mm.
And then and I enjoyed the Daredevil series. You know, just like just speaking of remakes, I mean, the fight scene where he goes into the hallway and he's fighting like 20—that's totally from Old Boy.
Yeah,
which was a remake of the original Old Boy.
Oh boy, that, well, it's funny because they, as I'm watching, make sure. All right, my stone dog was licking something. I want to make sure it was licking something that he was supposed to be licking.
But
he's
but,
licking
I mean,
something appropriate.
But like that, I mean, just like the, you know, I think like Daredevil is just not as charismatic a character as Luke Cage or Jessica Jones, but like. I feel like, you know, the actor who I wasn't familiar with, Charlie something, but like, he, you know, I think he did a really good job. And you know, I mean, as a series with, you know, serious martial arts and fight scenes, I mean, it's freaking incredible.
That guy
gets a shit beat out of him, you know, I mean, which is kind of faithful to the comics because, you know, the Daredevil,
the Miller Daredevil is too... too dumb to not stay down when he's supposed to stay down, which is what anybody who's ever boxed knows the trick is,
and
just not be.
And D'Onofrio as the Kingpin was great.
That was having that's what they've done with that entire series, is having great actors as villains make a story. You can't just have a throwaway actor as the villain and just be like,
well,
he's the bad guy.
Like in Luke Cage, you know, you had that guy, I mispronounced his name, Mahershala Ali, who's in Moonlight. He was awesome.
I was actually disappointed. Can we talk a lot, like, without saying what happens? When they shift focus from him to the secondary villain.
Right.
And that's actually why I think
I was kind of bummed because it was kind of sudden. It was like, oh, fuck.
But
I like him a lot.
I was so much less satisfied by the second half villain in the series that actually kind of threw me off. Like, I would actually say I liked that series the least out of the three.
Oh, really?
But if we're talking like the first six episodes, I think it was it had the best first six episodes. But the whole entire series kind of threw me because I thought that it lost something
because
they gave up such a phenomenal character.
That could have been because the dude was blowing up in movies and just
did they have a shift in the series?
I don't know
series?
If he got I didn't see did he get nominated for an Oscar?
Yeah, like, for Moonlight. He got
So I mean it could have been. I haven't seen it either, but like. It could have just been, you know, that, you know, his career was kind of all of a sudden getting huge and he's
taking off and he's doing.
He didn't have time to do Luke Cage anymore.
Because he was so compelling, and then that threw me. Whereas you had a full arc with D'Onofrio, you had a full arc with Doctor Who, whatever, David Tennant,
Kilgrave.
But the remaking thing, the remaking and overusing. So you get the Old Boy fight scene.
Yeah.
And okay, so that was our first comic book comic book movie to do like one of those, and that was a great
because it was a realistic fight scene. Like, you know, it wasn't like, you know, a lot of comic movies where you've got like the big freaking, you know, exaggerated uppercuts and, you know,
it was,
guys diving across.
And it's something as a filmmaker, whenever you can do something in one take. They had a great one take shot in True Detective.
Different.
That was a good fucking show.
Although
it was cranes and
so
Daredevil does the, let's call it the Old Boy fight, and then Arrow does an Old Boy fight.
Oh,
and
did
then,
they?
And then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did an Old Boy fight, and then Luke Cage did an Old Boy fight, and it's like, this is American television at its best.
Yeah.
Beat things
cannibalizing
to death. Yeah. Like, it's like
literally
do something different, or even like things that I didn't pick up on it so much with Luke Cage, but Jessica Jones did a couple of long takes, and they were unnecessary. They were cute, Like, there's one where she walks across and the camera actually follows her through the slats in a fence. And it's a neat cinematography trick. But all it is just showing off at that point. You know what I mean? And both Arrow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did, like, the bragging rights. Did you see our single take fight scenes? And, like...
Whereas then you have stuff like Breaking Bad where they had the episode with the fly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was... That's original, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you don't see shit like that.
And do something... You have that, and every TV show will do an episode like that where it's got, or every good TV show has these experimental episodes. You don't have
like to the Sopranos one where Tony's just dreaming the whole. Although that was really polarizing, some people really hated that one.
I'm trying to think.
Or the Pine Barrens one was awesome.
Mm-hmm. And those experimental episodes, Mad Men would have one per season where there's just that one really strange episode, and like really surreal. But that was a stylistic.
Well, that thing. One where like, what's his face? The older guy was dead, but he came back and was like doing a song,
dancing
and
dance. The death of Bert. But that we're at the stage now where one show does something clever and then a bunch of them try to do the same thing as opposed to
doing their own clever. And I think it's part of the challenge has got to be, you can come up with original ideas, but you won't necessarily get it. Made,
yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean. Yeah, you can come up with all the original ideas you want, but if studios don't feel it's viable, they're not going to fund it, and then you're fucked.
And what's funny is that you got to do something. Netflix, I think, might have been Hulu, picked up a show off a web series about a weed dealer, and it's just him going from client to client. But they had some kid with a DSLR had to shoot that on his own and put it on YouTube for it to be like. Something new and original, because everybody's always chasing what the last guy did. And that's...
I mean, the great thing about... It's good and it's bad, because there's so much shit to watch now that you can't watch it all.
Yep.
With all the different outlets. But, I mean, I love the fact that there's always something that's kind of... That I can check out. Like,
yep.
I've been watching the Get Down on Netflix, which is kind of about the origins of hip-hop. It's like a 6-episode series, and it's it's kind of based on New York in the mid-70s and the birth of hip hop, and I think like and there was that HBO show Vinyl, last year, which was kind of Scorsese directed the first episode, but it was kind of bad.
See,
again, had good actors like Bobby Cannavale is this, like he's just doing
he's
coke,
underrated,
but he's just doing coke the whole time, and he's like, he stumbles onto like in one episode he stumbles onto the New York Dolls, playing this historic punk show, and then the fucking the venue collapses on top of everybody. He staggers out of there. He walks through Harlem, and all of a sudden he stumbles onto Grandmaster Flash inventing hip hop. Like, it's just like this guy was suddenly at the birth of all these different, he discovers punk. Like, it's stupid, but the Get Down was at first I was kind of like, oh, it's kind of cornball, but it's really it's Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah,
directed, and it's like,
which is always, it's always good cornball with Baz.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Like, and it's like
the weirdest shit, but
it's like. Beautiful, and it's and it's kind of it interweaves footage from that time in New York. So it was what it's set around the time where they had the big power outage, the big blackout, and there's just a lot of violence, and there's a lot of Jimmy Smits plays this kind of Latino politician who he's sort of throwing his weight behind, I think he's about to throw his weight behind Ed Koch. It's just there's a lot of historical stuff in there, but then there's these kids who were kind of becoming the first hip hop DJs, and it's pretty interesting.
The best part of Luke Cage, I think, was the use of hip hop music and R&B.
And the club,
when they were bringing guys that have just their star has faded publicly, but they're still out there making great music. That was one of those ones
It's probably the last
making albums.
It's probably the last performance of Sharon Jones right before she died.
Yeah, that was. And the fact that they just let them play.
Yeah, it was cool.
You could tell.
I like Alfre Woodard too. She was funny.
She was great. Well, that was. I felt like they held her back a little bit too, because she's so phenomenal. Yeah. Like, that was...
I remember her from freaking Saint Elsewhere.
Yeah.
I used to love that show.
But that was actually what I would look forward to in every single one of those episodes was who was going to come popping up. God, I forget his
name. The club.
One of the Tony guys.
Oh, yeah. Rafael Sadiq.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. I couldn't remember what his... like that, I can call that.
Oh, and Charles Bradley, he's great. Yep. I don't know if you know him.
But yeah,
the old soul guy. Yeah, he's awesome.
The soul and the R&B and the like what they were pulling out of the like they really.
I mean, it was really like, you know, in typically comic book shows are super white, so you know
that was completely.
It was like you know it really was it was made by you know African Americans and it was really embraced kind of like that world in it.
I'm kind of curious how and
especially yeah. for a character who when you know when he started out like I don't know if you remember like
he was a
well he was just stereotypical kind of jive talking dude with like a big you know fro and you know because it came out in the 70s
yeah
and,
they
and well, they had it was like teamed him up with like a stereotypical martial arts they took dude, the they Asian took, martial arts dude
which is the new show coming out next which yeah I'll be curious to see how that does
Iron Fist yeah.
although it's funny because it's
but it's an English guy right playing
yeah
him,
and it's one of the it's Sir Loras from Game of Thrones
yeah
what I thought was funny and this is you know it's funny because they're not you know Daredevil was I guess a remake Jessica Jones was a relatively original character
yeah
but you know, the first one was body trauma. The second one was PTSD.
Yeah.
I would say Luke Cage was cultural trauma. You know, the
what's Iron Fist going to be?
Yeah, and I have enough
because like, then they have the Defenders series that's coming out where they're all together. So
totally inappropriate. Have you seen the one of the posters kicking around of the show? And it's all three of them like all four of them smiling. Like,
no.
It's inappropriate joke, but there's all of them like smiling, and you get Matt Murdock with his sunglasses on, looking in the wrong direction.
Seriously,
and somebody memed it with, "The fuck are we looking at, guys?"
That's awesome.
But I'm curious what they'll do with that because they've done something that that genre doesn't usually do. Like the first one was all about you know getting back up. And you get disabled. You've got complete flip flop of the gender roles for Jessica Jones. You've got, whenever the executive producer said that it was time for America to have a bulletproof black man, it was like Jesus. That is a dagger to the heart. Like this is exactly what
do you remember
right now.
In that when you know sort of when he becomes, you know they do the testing on him. He becomes, Power Man or whatever.
Yeah.
And that fucking thing. Like, yeah. That was like, you know, in the 70s, that was like part of his costume. Yeah.
Well, they have.
And he like rips it off and like throws it away.
Well, and remember, he's got the tiara, he's got the wrist cuffs, and then he steals a yellow like silk shirt
right.
and he escapes.
Yeah. I thought that was great.
Well, that was actually, that's been something that's been fun to watch with the show and with the comics and stuff because they took a character that was really created to like jump into the blaxploitation.
What? Well, do you remember Black Lightning?
Oh, yeah, that TV show's coming out. You hear about this?
Is it really?
Yeah, they're making a Black Lightning TV show on CW.
Like, that was... I remember that from the 70s, because there was a comic strip that they did of it. There was a Superman comic strip, and they introduced Black Lightning in it. The daily comic strip in the newspapers.
Yeah.
Because there was the Amazing Spider-Man that Stan Lee actually did.
Yeah.
With his brother, Larry Lieber. And then there was this Superman strip, and I remember Black Lightning, and he was like jive talking, and you know.
Yeah, they're making. They just announced that it's going to be one of the CW shows.
No
which
shit.
It could go either way. Because Flash
is that another Berlanti show? Yeah. Like that dude, like he's got like 8 shows going on.
No, it's funny because we got.
How do you keep track of all that shit?
I don't know either.
Legends of Tomorrow is another one, right?
So I watched. I Legends of Tomorrow is not.
But it's kind of got all the secondary characters, right? Like
I watched that on the stationary bike, and a bunch of my nerd friends just hated it. And for some reason, I got this level of affection for this stupid ass show. And it's a dumb show, but I don't know what it was. Like it won me over. I'm like, I think what it was is every actor on that show is on a different show.
Right.
They all have the same script. None of them are on the same show.
Yeah.
Like Wentworth Miller thinks he's in a parody. And he's just rolling.
He's
with
camping
it
up. Yeah,
and then you got Victor Garber is just It's just being a professional. Like, yeah. He's like, you know what? This is my job. I'm going to deliver these lines. Ronald! And I made one of my friends watch it, and he still hasn't forgiven me for it. He's still mad. He goes, I sat through 13 stupid episodes of this
show. If he hated it that much, why is he watching 13 episodes?
No, and I would get an email from him every day, because he's watching on the train going to work. And he's bullshitting.
Yeah, but if he hated it that much, just stop watching it.
No, I think it was because I talked him into it. I actually think it was my fault. I talked him. No, trust me, it gets better.
Powers of persuasion from Matt William.
But they're adding Black Lightning to the.
Did not know that.
Which means there will be a CW superhero DC show like on they every could, night of the week.
Yeah, I was going to say they got the superhero block going. See, I don't watch TV on regular nights anymore. Like, it's all streaming for me, so...
I watch, because I do the live tweeting with the books, I watch The Flash, and I quit Arrow. I watch The Flash and I watch Walking Dead. Game of Thrones when it's on. Otherwise, it's all streaming. Because it's too much to keep up with.
Yeah.
Although, these days, I need to invent a term. Help me out here. You're a wordsmith.
Sure.
The profound disappointment when you're watching a foreign TV show on Netflix, and you find out that it's not done yet, but you're all caught up. I want to say BB, come on. You know, with this Year's the Sea or something like that. Because I just watched Hinterlands, which is a Welsh cop drama, which is phenomenal. And I watched Jack Taylor, which is an Irish cop detective drama, which is phenomenal. And both of them, I got through the first two seasons and found out that the third seasons are currently airing in the UK right now, and I can't see them. And like, this is profound level of disappointment. Like, I just binge watch a show that's not done.
Foreign Friday.
Yeah, like this. Instead of saying Friday, you get something else.
Do you ever watch Luther?
Love Luther. Luther's a great show. Yeah, that's although he doesn't do it, he can do no wrong.
Yeah, that guy's good.
And so can the actress that plays the psychopath.
Oh, yeah, she's in love with him.
She's fantastic. Is that third season or fourth season with that? You know, that's funny because...
They only do like one or two shows. I think the third is like one show or two shows.
Well, if we're talking remakes versus not remakes, like the cop concept or the detective concept is overdone to death. But if you do that one thing, that makes it different.
Well, and almost every British show has been remade in the U.S., right?
I mean, well, they talked about... Did you watch Broadchurch? Or
no, but I know what it is. Yeah.
What do they call it here? It was funny, because I watched the original, which was brutal. Like, it was harrowing to watch. But it was also beautifully shot. Like, it was really elegant. It was an elegant TV show. And I watched the American version on Fox. I'm like, man, this looks like a cheap knockoff. This is like when Budweiser buys like a craft beer and screws it up.
What was the one they just redid something fucking... I mean, they're always redoing European shows. Yep.
I mean, The Office and Coupling.
I mean, that was good, but Coupling was not good. But The Office was good. But I mean... But they're always like... do you remember... is it Men Behaving Badly?
That
was fucking awful.
Well,
a lot of sitcoms.
I think that's one of the things that I'm watching from the UK that won't remake is because they're so...
Wasn't Friends based on a...
No, that was Coupling.
No, there was another one. There was another, like, big one that was kind of based on a... I mean, even Archie, even All in the Family was based on, was it Man of the House?
Really?
Yeah, it was a show called Man of the House.
I was going to say, if you can have a bigoted father of the house.
I mean, you know, I think Lear, Lear amped it up, but, I mean, because... That was revolutionary.
That was funny. It's funny. It's Archie Bunker, man. The world we live in now. Archie's calling it a talk show radio or talk radio. Yeah, the BBC and RTE shows that I'm watching these days are stuff that can't get remade because they're locational. Like, you can't remake
you could. Just change to like North Carolina or something.
I was going to say Hinterlands, which is about like the Welsh countryside, which is just
like Appalachia, you know.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say.
Dewey Crow, you know.
Yeah, just put it in one of those places.
Do you ever watch Justified?
That's on my binge list.
You've never watched Justified?
I've never watched, you know what?
That's probably another one I told you to watch. No, watch fucking Justified.
I'm writing it down next to Terriers.
It was like five seasons.
There's only 13 episodes of Terriers, right?
Then watch Justified. It's like five seasons. They're all fucking great.
Well, I mean, I love you know, the reason why I gotta watch Justified. Tim Oliphant and it's a Leonard Cohen, not Leonard Cohen, Leonard
Elmore Leonard.
Leonard
Cohen too. But fucking who's the dude? Shit. He's been in the last two Tarantino movies. The dude with the spiky hair.
Oh,
Walton Goggins.
Yeah, Walton
Goggins. He's awesome. He is awesome.
Have you...
Justified is basically all Tom versus him. But, like, you know, the other characters cycle in.
Did you watch Sons of Anarchy?
No. Yeah, I know who he plays.
You know what he does,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, and you know how he ended up doing that?
No.
Because they said when, the executive producer went from The Shield to Kurt Sutter.
Oh, yeah.
And he says the only two he reused every cast member from The Shield except for
Chiklis
and Goggins, because he said that those guys are identified as Vic and I forget the character's name, but mm-hmm. they're just too identifiable. We can't reuse.
I gotta watch that show again.
And Goggins says, "I will do anything. I'll do anything. I'll be in drag. I will play a woman. Whatever. I will do anything to be on your show."
Okay.
And four seasons in, he's like, "So how do you feel about being a transgender character?" And he shows up on set. But I'll tell you, he should have fucking won an Emmy for it. Because instead of going for the comedy, I mean, it's funny. Because you get a bunch of bikers with a transgender prostitute. Goggins played that character with so much sensitivity. It was like, this dude deserves like an award for it. It was bizarre for a show about bikers where people are cutting tongues out and stuff like that. But I'm like...
I haven't seen an episode of that show.
It's a, you know, there's a middle of it. It has a dip in the middle where it gets slow, but it was one of those ones where it was so good and so hard to watch in a good way that
kind of like Oz.
Where by the time it ended, you were ready for it to be done, but it was like this journey.
I watched Oz. I think the first couple of seasons.
Oz was hard.
Yeah, and then I was like, I can't watch this anymore.
And Oz was hard, and like Game of Thrones can be hard, but Game of Thrones isn't real. Oz is hard because it's real, you know?
Yeah, it was rough.
Oh, that was a show where every single actor went on to do something too, right?
Yeah,
like, I mean, everybody from that show.
Chris Maloney, many good
that players. Really made J.K. Simmons' career, right? I mean, he was a character actor for years, but
he was fucked up on that show.
Because you've seen him for the new Batman movie. He's playing Commissioner Gordon.
Right.
He's built like a brick shit house.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And he says, "No, this is what I've always looked like because I'm on Oz with all these guys, and I'm like, I'm the head of the Aryan Nation, and I'm this fat, flabby white guy. No, I got to get into shape." And he did that for the show, and he just never gave it
up. That was like 20 years ago now.
And he's still built like a brick shit house.
J. Jonah Jameson, too.
Uh-huh. With the Hitler stash.
Yeah.
But...
Well, we could talk about reboots forever because reboots pretty much go on forever. But
there's too damn many of them. But
I think we should just wrap it up now because
it's good to not actually, because the last show we did, we left on a note of despair, didn't we?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're feeling pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. As long as we don't talk about what's going on in the world, we're good, right?
Yeah, like this, we're leaving on a good note. Like, look at all these fun reboots that are coming out.
Sure, yeah. There's some stupid shit, but, you know, it's okay. We're not going to die tomorrow.
We're going to check out the It reboot. It'll be great. Yeah. You know, Baywatch looks funny. It's fine.
And, you know, things are okay with the country, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, no matter how bad things get, you can go to the movie theater and watch a bad reboot and not think about reality.
Fuck yeah. Right? Fuck yeah, man.
That's why they're making so much money.
That's right.
Escapism. Whatever. And we got a new Star Wars movie coming out, so we're good. We're
awesome. Sure. All right, Matt Fillion, thanks a lot, man, as always. All right.
And that wraps up episode 457 of Completely Conspicuous. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you'll join me next time. In the meantime, check out BFF.fm every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific, to hear my radio show, Stuck in the Garage. Check out Mixcloud.com/CoomDog to listen to archived shows. Jay Breitling produced the opening and closing themes of this show. Voiceover work is courtesy of James Grillion. Completely Conspicuous is a Tan God production.